There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since Jan 21, the cost of living is up 17.9%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the House of Cards will come crashing down. A presidential election year that'll have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. Text STRANGE to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold, too. Just text STRANGE to 989898 to claim your free info kit and to protect your savings from uncertainty today. In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
I was reading recently about a Swedish underground military facility on an island near Stockholm. It's called Muskö. It's a large naval base built underneath a mountain. Just to give you a sense of how large this underground base is, the hospital alone within the facility holds over 1,000 beds. And Muskö engineers blasted out 1.5 million cubic meters of stone in order to build it. And they began construction of the base around 1950. It was completed 19 years later, 1969. Again, during the construction, about 1.5 million tons of rock were removed. The Muskö base had three docks, originally designed for destroyers and submarines, and it's connected by 20 kilometers of underground roads. There's a 3-kilometer-long, dangerously narrow road tunnel running some 70 meters under the sea level, connecting the mainland and Muskö Island. And during the Cold War, the underground facility was kept highly secret. Not much information about it was known to the public for many years. Then in 2004, the Swedish government decided the Navy should be concentrated to two bases only, and much of the Muskö base was closed, and today some parts of the facility are still used by the military. So, having read that about Muskö, I think it would be very naive to believe that there aren't similar secret underground bases here in North America. Perhaps bases that are far deeper under our feet, far more expansive than we can imagine. Perhaps these underground bases are connected with complex systems of secret tunnels crisscrossing North America, and within those tunnels, high-speed maglev trains. If this all seems too fantastic, consider this. In 1987, the Deputy Director of Engineering and Construction for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers gave a speech at an engineering conference entitled Underground Facilities for Defense, Experience and Lessons. In the first paragraph of his speech, he states the following. After World War II, political and economic factors changed the underground construction picture and caused a renewed interest to think underground. As a result of this interest, the Corps of Engineers became involved in the design and construction of some very complex and interesting military projects. Although the conference program indicates the topic to be Underground Facilities for Defense, Experience and Lessons, I must deviate a little because several of the most interesting facilities that have been designed and constructed by the Corps are classified. He then went on into a discussion of the Corps' involvement in the 1960s in the construction of the large and elaborate NORAD base buried deep beneath Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado. This is just a public statement, but you'll not find a more significant public admission of secret underground bases than this one. People speaking is not the only evidence available. There are actual documents obtained by researchers through the Freedom of Information Act that shed more light on the subject and clearly outline plans for the construction of underground facilities. These are documents available which expose a deep underground command center that was to be built far below areas such as Washington, D.C. and China Lake. China Lake, California, during the Cold War. Documents available show that in 1964, the military was considering building a huge underground cavity 4,000 feet deep beneath China Lake. It's well known the United States and the Soviet Union created a vast infrastructure to support a complex of offensive and defensive weapons during the Cold War. This infrastructure included sites and facilities for developing, testing, storing, and manufacturing weapons. There was also a host... Oops, sorry, my computer just went blinko there for a second. Let me see if we can get that up and running while we're live and on the air. Sorry about that. In any event, there's probably very few people who know more about said underground bases, rumors, myths, legends of underground bases, and perhaps the reality of underground bases. Richard Sauter is the author of Hidden in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files, which is about secret underground bases. He's experienced first-hand contact with a variety of paranormal phenomena, convincing him that there is much more going on than what we are being told. How far down do these bases go? What leaks are coming from the classified world? What has the U.S. Navy planned for beneath the ocean floor? Are there bases beneath the ocean floor? What's going on beneath Washington, D.C.? Are there, as I mentioned earlier, high-speed underground maglev systems? What is the connection with UFOs and the alien question? Hidden in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files, is a book that truly goes where no other book has gone before. It's a must-read for any and all who are seeking to understand the full magnitude of the matrix-like reality of our civilization. Using a combination of archival research, on-the-scene investigation, and first-hand interviews, Richard Sauter takes the reader into a world that is under the ground and under the ocean. It's a world that we are supposed to think is impossible. And yet, after reviewing his evidence, it seems all too likely. Richard Sauter, how are you?
Thank you, Richard. Glad to be here. I'm doing better than I was a couple of years ago. Thank you.
How do you mean you're doing better than you were a few years ago? What has happened in the last couple of years to you?
Well, I was almost killed a couple of years ago, and I spent several months in the public hospital system here in Ecuador, and I want to thank the public hospitals for giving me a space to recuperate for a few months. Initially, I couldn't even stand up. I couldn't take one step without falling over. I basically lost most of the function of my legs, especially below the knees, but I've slowly rebounded and recuperated. Some people think there may have been American alphabet soup involvement behind the scenes. And what happened to me, I couldn't tell you that is the case. In any event, I was assaulted and nearly killed. I survived the attack. I'm still recuperating a little more than 2 years later. And so it's my pleasure to spend an hour talking with you.
Now, if we connect the dots a little bit, is it because of the information that you've divulged regarding secret underground bases? Is that the reason perhaps there was an attempt on your life?
I don't know. I couldn't say. I'm also an anti-nuclear activist and have been for many years. I've spent time incarcerated in the United States for my nonviolent anti-nuclear peaceful protests. I'm also a blogger. and have been blogging for ever since I've been in Ecuador, which is 4.5 years. So I, you know, whatever I might say about the motive behind the attack on me would be speculation. What I can tell you is that I was very nearly killed. It was a close call, and I barely survived. It's 2 years later. I am still recuperating, and so I'm very happy to be speaking with you this evening. What you have said about underground bases is all true. There's no question that these facilities exist. There are many of them, and not only in the United States. They are underground, and as I have been told, and as my research indicates, also undersea. They can be quite elaborate, quite deep, quite large, and quite technologically sophisticated. People really need to wrap their heads around the fact that they have been massively lied to, and the world is seriously different than we have been told.
Well, if we've learned nothing from Edward Snowden, who shed a great deal of light on this black budget world and the idea that, you know, we're living in a world full of these special access programs, and they have siphoned off trillions of dollars every year, conduct these black op programs. And how much of that money has been funneled into these underground bases, do you suspect?
Well, you can't put a dollar figure on it, you see, because it's compartmentalized. But I would say a great deal has been lavished on underground bases and tunnels and undersea facilities. And also my research from time to time, I got indications that probably this business of tunneling and building secret subsurface facilities may well extend to the moon and possibly to Mars and other bodies.
Wow, underground bases on the moon.
Yes. Well, in my first book, and by the way, all of my books are linked to from my blog site, which is linked to from your website, I believe.
That's correct.
But so you can get all three of my books that are currently in print. But in my first book, Underground Bases and Tunnels, What is the Government Trying to Hide? I gave, towards the end of that short book, which was my first cut at this subject matter, a little bit of documentation from one of the documents I obtained, I believe, from Jacobs Associates Engineering Firm. There was an allusion to transporting a so-called subsaline tunneling machine to the moon to make subsurface tunnels on the moon. And that was circa the 1970s, something like that. So the document did not say how the subsaline machine, nuclear powered, by the way, would be taken to the moon. My guess is it would perhaps be taken by some of these heavy lift black triangles, because I don't believe that using chemical rockets is a feasible way to transport pieces of machinery that are hundreds of feet long and weigh, you know, hundreds of tons to the moon. I strongly suspect this heavy lift anti-grav black triangle technology is in use by the compartmentalized programs in the American military-industrial complex, and has been for some time. Now, I have talked to a lot of individuals from a variety of backgrounds, both military and non-military, hard science and non-science, right across the spectrum. So without being too specific, because one of the conditions that a lot of people have for speaking with me is that I not out them. The reason being that the penalties for breaking security oaths in the United States military-industrial espionage complex can be quite severe.
Oh, yeah. These people play for keeps. No question.
Oh, they play, Richard, they play for keeps. By keeps meaning They will take you out. They will do unspeakable things, maybe to your family. Taking away your lifelong pension is the least of what they can and will do. They kill people. As one of my, there's one man I knew for years who worked for United States Air Force Intelligence, and I talked with him about many things over the years. One day we were talking, and I asked him if he had ever been approached by the CIA to work for them, and he said, oh, yes. And I said, well, what did you tell them? And he said, well, of course, I turned them down. And I said, why? And he said, well, Richard, the CIA even kills their own, so why would I want to work for them? And that's true. You know, there's no honor among thieves. And when you're talking about the American intelligence agencies, especially, but not only the CIA, they are vicious equal opportunity assassins, and they will just as gladly stab one of their own operators in the back as they will blow out the brains of someone else. So when you're dealing with these compartmentalized programs, if you're in, you're in, and you never get out. What my perception is that a fair number of people who get involved in these projects find out the deep wickedness that is often involved, stealing money by the millions and the billions and the trillions is one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is, as I just alluded to, they kill people. And it's just nasty. What can I say?
Well,
and I believe...
To what end, though? To what end are these bases being constructed?
To the end of control. Control.
All right, but...
Control of the earth. Control of the earth, everything above the earth, everything on the earth, everything below the earth. These are incredible control freaks. And yes, I have talked to people who've been in the bases, who've worked in them, who've helped construct them. I've talked to people who know about them, just from a lot of different perspectives. For example, you mentioned Navy personnel. And I've talked to a fair number of people in the United States Navy over the last 20 years. And I am very satisfied that there are undersea bases, manned undersea bases, and also that there are submarine bases. I mean, bases that accommodate large military submarines on both coasts of North America with access tunnels that come in from undersea. And you have to understand these large military submarines are, my God, they're 500-600 feet long, which is on the order of up to 200 meters long or 200 yards long. They're enormous. And the height of them, they can be 100 feet or more from the bottom of the hull to the top of the conning tower. So we're talking about 30 meters or more from the bottom of the hull to the top of the conning tower. So they're massive ocean-going vessels, and so you can imagine the advances that have been made in marine engineering to create tunnels undersea that can accommodate vessels of this size and then airlocks that are that massive that these submarines can go into undersea and then either travel into bases that would be built down in the solid rock in the seafloor deep beneath the surface of the sea, or they could enter tunnels and then travel through the tunnels and come into underground bases or dry docks that would be inland in coastal areas, but inland. And this technology has been under research and design since at least the 1960s, which is 50 years ago, a half a century ago. So we're talking about projects that are well advanced. The technology is just mind-bending. And I recently did an interview on the radio where the host actually was an ex-member of the United States Navy. And I got to talking about the Altec facility in the Bahamas on Andros Island. This is off the southeast coast of Florida, in the Northern Caribbean Sea region. And that has been, on Andros Island, a United States Navy base for over half a century, going back, I believe, to the 1950s. He said, my research was pointing that direction, but I had no corroboration. But he corroborated for me that, in fact, there is an underground submarine base there, and the submarines come in through underwater tunnels, and then there is like a dry dock area where they can berth, tie up at the dock for repairs. And my research indicates that this type of base has been planned for by the United States Navy since the 1960s. I have documentation from the Navy, and pardon me, I took a drink of water, and also from the Stanford Research Institute in California, both from the mid-1960s to late 1960s, calling for the construction of these major manned undersea bases, which could even be either along the coastline of North America, for example, or any other large land mass, or could be accessed from islands anywhere in the world, such as the Bahamas or Bermuda, is one, another example, or Diego Garcia in the middle of the Indian Ocean. There are many examples, you see. Let's see, England is an island also, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Or they could be accessed in a deep-sea environment. The way that would happen, as per the documentation I obtained openly, it wasn't classified, is that using petroleum industry technology, they would use great big bores and bore huge cylindrical holes in the ocean floor right in the bedrock. They could be 8, 10, 15, 20 feet in diameter. And say you drill a perfect hole 100 feet deep, and then you insert a huge stainless steel cylinder in that hole and cement it into place with fast solidifying underwater cement. Then you have an airlock on the end of that tube, and use that airlock to evacuate the water from the tube, and then you pump in a breathable atmosphere. And then you see, using submarines, you send down crews, highly trained tunneling crews, and you put them through that airlock along with drilling equipment, and they go to work there undersea and then tunnel out from that initial borehole, and then submarines can come, and with their airlocks, they can lock on to that airlock on that tube, and that's the means of access. And then as you go and burrow further, you can make an entire undersea labyrinth in the bedrock beneath the sea. Do you see how that's done?
Well, as best I can wrap my head around an undertaking like that. So they are tunneling under the ocean. But again, I mean, who is doing this? Are we talking primarily, is this a globalist regime that's in charge of this? Or is this?
I suspect. I'll tell you that when I was researching my last book, I was contacted by a man who told me of a facility he knew of from his work that was being constructed in the Gulf of Mexico. He told me by Parsons, which is one of the major civil engineering companies in the United States. And so there's an example of a corporate facility. He didn't know the purpose of it, but he worked in an industry that provides equipment that is only used in deep underground mining context, so that when he was told by this company that they needed this equipment that he uniquely provided for use in a facility in the Gulf of Mexico, he knew instantly it had to be an undersea facility, actually burrowed down in the bedrock.
What's being stored down there?
All kinds of things. From the documentation that I have seen, in the planning documents, there were three things that popped up: nuclear missiles, nuclear bases, submarine bases for the submarines to come and go and for the crews to just stay, you know, instead of patrolling for half a year at a time, it'd be more comfortable to go in a place where you could play ping pong and lift weights and et cetera, have a library and on and on. With normal kitchens. Another thing is scientific facilities for studying geology and geophysics and also mining. You know, if you had your own private uranium mine or gold mine or platinum mine, well, just think of it. You could make billions of dollars and it would be all yours. So there's plenty of incentive right there from mining alone.
What about underground facilities or under-ocean facilities that would be used to house individuals in the event of some cataclysmic event? And when I say individuals, I mean we're talking about the elites here, this breakaway civilization,
yeah,
for example.
I believe that's probably going on. But because you're dealing with very tightly compartmentalized projects, I doubt you will find any documentation on the public record. I looked, and I didn't see any. I don't think you will find it. The other thing is secret prisons. You know, Richard, a lot of people disappear on this world every year. Thousands and thousands of people disappear. I presume some of them, for whatever reason, are being held in secret prisons.
I've been reading a lot also about this this China Lake installation or underground installation, and you have been in contact with individuals that have told you about that. I've heard that this is somewhere on the order of 4,000 feet below the surface. I mean, are there any clues, any hints above ground as to what lies beneath?
Not necessarily. Sometimes there are, and sometimes there are not. These facilities can be cleverly disguised. They can be accessed from tunnels that originate miles away from where the facility proper may be sited or situated. So sometimes, yes, there will be infrastructure above ground that you can see, and you will say, aha, there's something here below the ground. In other cases, no, there wouldn't necessarily have to be any surface indication. So there may or may not be. And what I can tell you is that even already in the documents I saw from the 50s and 60s in the past century, there was discussion as to how to camouflage these types of clandestine facilities. And I believe the technology for concealing these things is probably considerably advanced these days. They can be anywhere, beneath a large city, beneath a small town, in a desert isolated area. They can be beneath mountains, beneath the sea, beneath a marsh. What you see above ground or on the surface, you may perceive the surface as being very uninviting, but you see, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what is going on 5,000 feet down or 10,000 feet down or 13,000 feet down. Early on in my research, I didn't have a good idea as to how deep these things can be. And now I understand that they can be very deep indeed. As one expert put it to me in one of my many conversations with a variety of people over 20 years, I asked him, how deep can these underground facilities be? And he said, well, you know, the state of the art is a mile underground, and today that is a comparative a child's play to go 1 mile underground. And those were his words. So I would say, conservatively, 1 mile underground. And what is the lower limit? Is it 2 miles, 3 miles, 5 miles? I can't tell you, you see. That's compartmentalized, classified information. What I can tell you is, based on the documentation I have found and on conversations with people who know, I can very comfortably say that to go and build a facility 1 mile down or 1 mile beneath the sea that is state-of-the-art for marine engineering technology and for civil engineering technology in our time.
I'm thinking about Area 51 or Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Well, let's talk about Area 51. And you know, we've heard about S4 and different and various levels and compartments within Groom Lake. What do we know about the possibility of an underground base there?
Oh yes, well you have to understand 90% of Nevada is under control of a variety of United States government agencies, both military and non-military. My research would suggest that the surface ownership of the land doesn't have too much to do with what's occurring underground. Everything that I have seen indicates to me that there's quite a lot underground in Nevada, and that let your imagination run. That's all I can say.
Got to ask you about your own personal experience with what you describe as a variety of paranormal phenomena with relation to these bases, Richard.
Yes, well, not only with relation to the bases, but to everything on this planet and beyond. And actually, that would be quite an extensive conversation time format. But the very brief Cliff Notes version is that at the age of 3, I was had an encounter with what I called the Bone Lady, all capital letters. She would be I would say a demigoddess if you had to use one word in the English language to describe her. And she downloaded a lot of information to me. That was my initiation into, shall we say, real reality and not the Matrix reality. We are born into the Matrix reality. There is some truth in the Matrix movie, especially in the first, say, hour of the Matrix movie. But once you are caught up into the Matrix, it can be quite hard to remove the blinders unless you get a little help. The Bone Lady gave me a little...
Is she extraterrestrial, interdimensional?
The Bone Lady... Well, I'm telling you, the Bone Lady is beyond that, you see. The Matrix... Once you begin to wrap your head around the Matrix or poke it out of the Matrix, you realize that a lot of our language is Matrix-related, and that even words such as terrestrial and extraterrestrial past a certain point are of limited utility because we have been so blinded. Our entire mental construct is a prison. This entire planet is operating under the most severe mental and spiritual interference you can imagine.
And unfortunately, we're just about out of time. Can we make this another date? Can we have you back?
Yes, on? We can have a series of conversations. When I tell you, if we're going into this, we will go very deeply, and that is intended. It's not a pun.
Indeed. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you joining us tonight from Ecuador. Again, the book is Hidden in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files. We'll have you on again, Richard, and we'll do part two of this as we discuss underground bases and the connection to the UFO-ET issue. I really appreciate your time tonight, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
A new Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. Blow your mind. That is all for now. Oh, and remember to share and give a 5-star review, because we have huge egos and need love. We're like cats. We need constant petting.